Yeah.
Okay. All right, then I am going to call the meeting to order.
Okay.
And if we can get a roll call, please.
Yes, Commissioner Collins.
Present.
Great. Commissioner Lieberman.
Here.
Commissioner Audi.
Here.
Commissioner Gary.
Here. Please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge of allegiance to the flag, the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, for God, indivisible, with liberty. Great, thank you. Next is public comment. I don't know if we have anyone from the public.
We've received no public comments for any of the items on the agenda. On the screen, there's instructions for if anybody is participating in the meeting and wants to give a public comment, those are instructions on how to do so.
Great. Then we'll be moving on to item 5, safety moments and reports.
Right. Today's safety moment is near and dear to my heart since I'm a cyclist, and it's all about bike safety, both from the standpoint of if you're driving an automobile or if you're riding a bicycle. So lots of good tips in there, and sadly, there are often a lot of cycling accidents, and I do have to say that a lot of times it is the fault of the cyclist busting through stop signs or red light, but still a car versus a bicycle, it's we always know who's going to win. So there's some good tips in there, and I just recommend that you take a peek at it and be careful.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Item B, manager's report.
Right, I have several topics and then a presentation that Matt and his team are going to make. I sent out an email to the commissioners about a save the date for August 28th, and that's for the 1406 Radio Road building dedication, marking it as the history of it during World War II. And I've heard it from a couple of the commissioners already, so thank you. I also sent two emails to the commissioners related to some chemical supply shortages due to issues, problems at manufacturing facilities. And just wanted to let you know that so far we're doing well, and we are both on hypo and on the ferric chloride replacement. We're looking for ferrous chloride, and Monty and his team are doing a really good job reaching out to suppliers of chemicals, so we're in good shape right now, but I'll continue to keep the commission apprised of that status. And lastly, I just want to say to the commission, thank you for the support that you showed to me and to our staff. It's noted, it's felt, and really appreciate the support that we get from the commission. I'm going to turn it over to Matt to give a report. So do you want Jessica to start showing it? Or are you going to?
I'm muted and I can't unmute myself.
You're not muted. We can hear you. Well, now you're muted.
Now you're muted.
You were unmuted.
Okay. Try it now.
It's one of those where the icon is lagging quite a bit. I apologize. Let me pull open the presentation. Thank you for your patience here. I'm almost there. And hopefully you will be able to see the screen.
Yes, we can see it.
Okay, good. Thank you. So This is an update of cybersecurity. It's something that the commission requested several months ago as we were hearing more in the news about cyber attacks, particularly against utilities. So this material that we're going to review was prepared by our Information Services Division. Brent Brown is the director. You've met Brent before and his team, Socorro Lapas and Robert Chapman, the IS analyst. So together they put this material together. They are available if there are technical questions. But we wanted to go through a few things just to reiterate the importance of cybersecurity and to outline in very general terms what we are doing here to mitigate those risks. Talk about the threats. We'll talk about resources that we have, how we educate our staff, that's very important, how we're trying to create a particular culture that is always aware and on guard against cybersecurity matters, and talk about the partners that we use, and again, closing with some of the posture and what's on the horizon or looking forward. I think it's no secret that this is in the news every day. This is just a couple screenshots from last week. In fact, this morning there was more news about some particular spyware that is being loaded on the iPhones of journalists and what have you. So every day there's more news. And what's particularly concerning is that you'll see on this table or chart that there's nearly a billion registered threats since 1998 when the measure began in this particular instance. These attacks are increasing not only in volume, but in also in the level of sophistication that's coming through. We here at SVCW, and I'm certain each of the members IS teams, they have their resources, including these and maybe others, but the resources that we use are focused on helping us become aware of what's out there, sharing of information, sharing of ways to mitigate those things. And this resource is done at the federal level, whether it's Department of Homeland Security, the state level, locally, and even here in the Bay Area, specific to wastewater and water utilities through BayWorks. So a lot of information is shared is quite important for these matters. As I said earlier, the education is very important. We do a couple of things. One is that, of course, our IS team is constantly educating themselves on what's happening, what's coming, what tools there are to prevent or mitigate against it. But we also educate down to the staff level. Often the attacks come in not through the network, but they come in right directly to a staff person who might inadvertently click on something or receive a phishing attempt. So we do require all employees to go through monthly training. We test employees in that monthly training. We even send out fictitious emails to kind of simulate what an attack might be doing. Here's a screenshot of, this is in particular my score. There's, for the past 6 months, all the courses I took, whether I finished the exams, and it's a way for us to monitor and measure people's progress and to make sure they're staying abreast, because that's where the risk lies, is every person in the organization has to go through this training. And it protects us against things like this. This was an example email from about a month ago. It comes through directly to me. It says it's from the HR department. It has a DocuSign link. It says click here because there's important contract agreements to be reviewed. But if you hover and you look at that yellow button, it tells me that there's nothing there behind it from SVCW. In fact, it's from a Russian sort of domain. So those are the things I've learned, and those are the things we're constantly reminding people of. Just because it says it looks like it's from a legitimate source, do not trust it. So in fact, that zero trust is something that we are kind of instilling here at the agency to say, it's no longer trust, but verify. It really is. We're not going to trust anything until it comes through a certain security layer, dual authentication, and other means to make sure that the network is protected. We know what's coming in. We know who is coming in. We know why they're coming in. And again, these things evolve, constantly changing, constantly the threats are growing And what is a good solution today may not be that way tomorrow. So it's important to have this culture kind of throughout the organization. We don't have all the expertise in-house. Admittedly, I don't think anyone does. So we partner with experts who do have that security, whether it's Cisco, whether it's the firewall providers who are you know, managing their tools and offering the latest and greatest. But again, the goal is shared to protect the agency, knowing that the risk is often coming from the home. Working from home is now obviously done everywhere. And so knowing who's coming in, when they're coming in, and monitoring that traffic is going to continue to be important. This slide shows sort of the outline, the goal of what we're looking for. So all of these tools on the right, whether it's VPN or firewalls, cloud security, scanning, logging, all of that information, that's good, but it has to remain dynamic. It has to be strategic, and it must continually change for us to be protected at all times. What's coming on the horizon? There's things with artificial intelligence, machine learning. Examples include knowing not only that Matt Anderson is logging in from home, he's doing this sort of work. Why is he looking at this file? Should be looking at finance files. Why is he looking at something from an engineering standpoint? Well, that's unusual. Maybe there'll be a flag that will be sent out. Why is someone logging in at 2 a.m. when they've never logged in at 2 a.m. before? So those sorts of examples are evolving and continuing to alert our IT team about how to respond and mitigate those risks. So in summary, IIS protects and works very proactively to stay ahead of it. We believe we're well positioned today, continue to evolve with it. We work with the right experts. We find experts who will not only protect it today, but will look out for tomorrow. We emphasize the training of staff to make sure that they know what to do and what not to do. And then trying to create that culture of safety in cybersecurity, just like Teresa and everyone has been focused on safety in the physical sense. So with that, I can answer any questions, or we can turn it back over to Teresa.
Thank you, Matt. Are there any questions?
Through the chair, I have just two quick comments. If I may?
Yes.
Thank you. First, Teresa, just regarding the August 28th event, I am scheduled to be out of town that day, so I may not be able to attend. Just want to let you know.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you. And then, Matt, first of all, that's a pretty enlightening presentation on cybersecurity, so thank you. The notion of a billion threats since 1998 is far... It kind of blows your mind a little bit, just in terms of how that really goes on. One thing I would mention, my wife's company, they actually send out emails that are, I'll call it phishing emails, to its own employees, much like you mentioned happens during our testing period. I don't know if we do that as a matter of procedure, but it's very helpful because employees are really aware that they could be that, you know, it just makes everybody more aware. And quite frankly, they do catch a lot of employees clicking on things, and it's a great reminder of what not to do, and they grade them as part of their performance evaluations. I don't know if we're doing that, but I'm just wondering, if we're not, should we start doing something like that?
Actually, I do have something for that. Our team has been discussing something that is along the lines of not necessarily a penalization, but more of a training opportunity, where when we do send out a phishing email and a user does happen to click on the link, that they would be instructed to complete a 45-minute course specifically designed at phishing prevention. So that is one of the avenues we're looking at today.
Thank you. That's great. I think that certainly sounds like a very productive way to do it. And I would say whether or not we eventually incorporate that into part of a performance reporting system, I would say just depends on maybe what you find with those results of doing something like that, because the downside, the risk of this stuff is getting increasingly higher and higher.
Agreed.
Because we are trying to make it into part of our overall safety culture, which does go into performance reviews. So it would, dovetail nicely in that regard.
Yeah. In fact, I think it's important enough that I would say, if you do incorporate this as part of your ongoing training, whether it's quarterly or twice a year, it would be nice for this commission to know, I think, that, you know what, you've sent out X thousand emails or X hundred emails, and this is the percentage that were clicked on. So we have a sense of what's going on as well.
Yeah, good idea. We can do that for sure.
Commissioner Collins?
thank you, Chair Aguirre. Thank you, Matt. It was a very good presentation and also scary. We see these things every day, and it makes me think that the city of San Carlos should have this kind of cybersecurity training. I didn't know that if you hover your mouse over that link for the DocuSign that you can see what's behind it. But I get these things all the time, so it's just scary to think that what they could do. But my question is really around security software. I mean, I recently had some extra security software put on my computer, but how do we know that those guys are legitimate? Is there a sort of a protocol or a screening process that you go through to make sure that whatever security programs you're using are also safe from cyber terrorists?
That's a great question. Yeah. We definitely do vet these programs out with our cybersecurity experts, and they recommend the products. Right now, we're using one that works in conjunction with our firewall, Palo Alto Networks Cortex XDR. And what's special about this one is Palo Alto Networks specializes in security, and they have a team dedicated to this type of activity called Level 42. And what they do is they basically keep aware of new threats coming out. And as those threats are made aware, they are instantly added to a list called a wildfire list, which is published to our firewalls, which gets pushed down to our security software at each endpoint. And so, although it is effective day one, there are things, as you mentioned, that are unknown to us all. And when they do become known, they are added to that wildfire list, and we are preventing at that point.
I'll comment just a little further, and Robert can speak to the details here, but in terms of third person or third party risk, that is certainly becoming the new norm. As attacks not coming from within, they're coming from a third party provider. And wanting to vet that, Robert's team, they will do, for example, if a piece of equipment comes in, they don't just trust that equipment is already at the manufacturer level, it's clean, it's ready. They flash it. So they tell me they'll actually look at it, they'll replace the firmware, make sure that it doesn't have any contamination on it, so to speak, before they connect it to our network. So that's just an example of not trusting even a third-party manufacturer when some of this trouble has occurred. And looking forward, they intend to continue to do that. So do what we can to avoid those sorts of risks.
Well, I really appreciate your efforts. I know it's a constant process of vigilance. So, but anyway, thank you for staying on top of it.
Anytime.
Any other questions? Thank you, Matt. Appreciate the update. It's scary, but at the same time, I feel happy that we're on top of it as much as we can. You just never know, right? Okay, then moving on to financial report.
Let's see, I'll let Matt answer any questions.
Right. Don't have anything to add to the financial reports.
Any questions from my colleagues? Ron, you still have your hand up. Did you have another question?
No, I didn't. I'm lowering it.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, no questions, and then we'll move on to item D, Engineering Capital Projects Report.
I have nothing beyond the written report.
Okay, thank you, Tim. Any questions? Okay, then the commission-related staff-level action items.
Right, similarly, nothing to report out from here, and I can answer any questions if there are any.
Okay. Any questions? Moving on to the rescue program build design project status update.
Yes, I'll just take a second to report the good news that actually about a month ago now, on June 22nd, the TBM did break through into the receiving staff. So that's a very big milestone for the Gravity Pipeline project. The tunneling part of the project is over. They're currently pulling the tunnel boring machine out of the hole, and we'll continue with the rest of the project, which is putting the interior pipeline in and finishing up the drop structures. But we were thrilled to have a very successful tunneling operation from start to finish.
Where will that machine go? Will it go back home?
It will. Last we spoke, the contractor is selling it back to the company that made it, Heron Connect. That was a part of that's something that they negotiated, and we included a credit in our contract for. And last we had talked to Heron Connect, they hadn't determined where it was going to go yet. It might go back to Germany, or it may go to another project here in the state.
In the meantime, do you have to store it?
For a very short period of time while they're pulling all of it out, and then it'll be hauled out fairly quickly. I'm not sure exactly when, but we won't be holding on to it for long.
And it's not in the way?
No.
Okay. All right.
I want to just give a shout out to the whole project team, particularly on the tunneling side, that, you know, as you can imagine, it's very close quarters inside a tunnel boring machine. And during COVID, there were no instances of